Hi, and welcome to Air Graphics Podcast. My name is Ralph Kelly, the owner of Air Graphics, Airbrushing and Caracol.
This week we have Cliff Morris of Cliff's Airbrushing.
Okay.
All right, here we go. All right, so
yeah.
Then we got Cliff Airbrush. Cliff Morris, right? Cliff Morris of Airbrush?
Cliff Airbrushing in the house. Brushing, yes.
So
more than one.
Where are you from?
I'm originally from Southern California. Born in Los Angeles, raised in Compton. Pretty much moved out here in Vegas in 2013. Been here about 10 years. But originally, Vegas?
Yeah.
You know, so it's hit and miss. You know what I mean? It all depends on how you look at it. You know, it's touristy. But I'm more of a Southern kind of guy. I'm more active with the California, you know, drivers, whatever, the people that are out there just making moves and stuff. So I'm always on the road traveling back and forth.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know you was in Vegas, man. I would have looked you up while I was over there. I normally come over there and I hang out with Chino and them for a while, but I don't like Vegas, man. I don't like it.
Man, I feel you, man. Like I said earlier, I mean, I've been here 10 years, man. And, you know, I got married in 2013. That was one of the main reasons. If I didn't get married, I'd probably been here like 6 months and bailed out.
Yeah.
It's just people are just a little different here. You know?
Yeah.
It's challenging.
And it's too hot.
I'm more of a California thing.
Too much walking and all of that shit over there.
Well, it's not enough water. You know what I mean? It's not enough water, you know? And it's hot, number one. So that's what you got to get used to. I'm kind of a beach guy, you know? Every Sunday I'm at Venice Beach, you know, any type of beach.
But yeah, see, I'm from an island over here, so yeah, it's beachy over there. But I don't mess with the beach that much. Grew up on.
I love the beach, man. Yeah,
so any social networks you want to promote?
I'm just on Facebook, Instagram. That's pretty much all I use, man. I don't use any other networks outside of the two that I use. They've been pretty good to me, so I'm not really in a position to promote anything outside of that. I mean, if you're on Instagram, you're automatically in a good lead. There's so many engines out there now. I just use what I use, and it's been working for me. So I can only promote Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah.
And word of mouth.
TikTok train. You haven't tried TikTok train yet? You haven't got on TikTok?
I did some TikTok, you know, but I move around so much, man, and I know that's a good, you know, way of trying to get your business and stuff out there. But at the end of the day, I'm cool. You know, I'm 60 years old, man. I've been in this game 36 years.
Yeah.
I just built my van out. So right now I'm out to travel. You know, I'm on my way to Paisley Park and California to go work and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I stay pretty active though. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I was going to ask you about how long have you been airbrushing? But you said about 36 years?
Yeah, if I did the math right, I started in 87 and I started my first business 1 year later. Mm. You know, it was cool back in the early 90s, you know, early 80s, rather.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I just stepped out on faith and started. I had an indoor opportunity and I went in and just started making money and I just never looked back.
That's what I always say. My lights are still on. Ain't no need of me doing nothing else.
I ain't trying to be. I can't make all the money. I definitely can't take it with me. So I'm just going to try to enjoy this real life. Yeah.
So how did you find out about airbrushing?
You know, I used to hang out at Venice Beach a lot. There's a guy who used to hang out there, you know, the boardwalk artist. He used to have this portable CO2 tank, and he was out there just doing T-shirts and stuff like that. And I just happened to walk up on his booth one day and just asked him a couple questions. As you know, artists, they don't really like to give you too much information. So I was just really short about information, what kind of gun you use. And then he had told me it was a VL1 Pache.
Oh, yeah.
So that was my first gun. So it was introduced to me through him. And I was self-taught. I didn't know what I came across. I just knew I had to learn this too. I had tried everything else. And once I hit airbrushing, it was like, once I made my first dollar, I knew I had something. Because I already had the ability to create,
The feeling of making money off of your artwork, it gets you on a high in the beginning. that you can't get.
Well, it took me away from It took me away from the job market. You know, I feel like, you know, I can use what I got, what God has given me, to create and make a living off of it. I mean, you can't ask for anything more than that.
No.
So I was blessed to be able to understand who I was as an artist at a young age, and pursued that. I've done the job thing, the marketing type thing, but it just, even before I even got into airbrushing, I didn't understand what I was doing when it came to working for people anyway. So when I broke into the airbrushing business, I was like, okay, this is definitely my calling. Yeah. I'm not looking back.
And that money's good. That money is good. If you get out there and work for it, that's some good money.
Yes, absolutely. It's rewarding at the end of the day, but you got to put in the work. You know, it's not going to, especially nowadays, it's not just going to come to you. I mean, you got all these apps and stuff like that you can use, but you still got to get out there and put on the work. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, you got to get out there. If you're really hungry, you got to go out there and make it happen.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So what airbrush do you use now?
I use I use Iwatas. I use the HBCs, and I use a RG. I use some big guns, but mainly Iwatas, Eclipse. You know, those are my favorite guns. I'm not really a big thing on having a lot of guns. You know, I know a lot of guys got 5,000 guns but only use two. So I don't need all that extra baggage when I can only use one gun at a time anyway.
Yeah.
So when my guns break, I replace them because I like that one gun style. So if I break whatever parts, fail, whatever, I just replace the gun and get the same one. Mm. But I can use a gun until the wheels fall off. You know what I mean? I just keep it going.
That's the way it is. I got a bunch of guns, but I only use four.
You only use four, but they're on standby, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a lot of guns too, but they're in the graveyard. You know, I got boneyard type stuff, you know, spare parts.
Yeah.
Save me some money on some needles and stuff.
And them tips. Woo!
Oh, they just went up. Oh, yeah, it's crazy, man. Look, I've been trying to sharpen my needles with sandpaper, 1200, 1500 grit. I'm like, I'm on it. I'm saving my $45 for it. Right. I can't sharpen it no more. That's too much for me. Yeah.
So when you say you self-taught, you just nobody showed you, or you just got in your garage and just did it?
The short story is that when I met that guy, he told me exactly where to go. So I went out to California. I mean, Beverly Hills, there was a store called the Art Store back then. And I went in there not knowing exactly what I needed. So when I got to the counter, they kind of explained, you need the hose, blah, blah. So I wound up getting the Apache V01. I went home and opened up the box, didn't know where to start, didn't know where to hook anything up at. Time went by and I figured it out after about an hour and a half. So I just took a piece of fabric and I would just, I only had black. I didn't have any other colors, whatever. So I just wanted to learn that control.
Yeah.
And that was the most important thing, is that control, the trigger control.
Yeah.
You know, mind over matter. Once you develop that mind over matter, everything comes easy. So I was struggling. So I didn't realize that I had wound up staying up like 24 hours. Time had just went by. I tell this story all the time. My first experience with airbrush, I didn't realize I was up 24 hours trying to figure this gun out. I was just that determined.
Yeah.
And I figured it out. I figured it out. And
I bought one. It was I was sitting here, and that's where I had WCA back then. So we just I would read, and then I'll just get up and try to put it to work.
Yeah,
and it just snapped in my head that I got it.
Yeah, you know what? It comes natural after a while. Once you figure it out, it just comes natural. You know, it's mind over matter. After a while, you struggle a little bit in the beginning, but once you got it, you got it, and you know, there's no need to look back.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like riding a bicycle for the first time.
You always learn it, but you still forever learn it. And like, good at portraits. I can't do it. I'm not good.
There's a lot of things I'm not good at, but I always like to challenge myself, and I think that's the biggest teacher for me, because I'm constantly learning new things.
Yeah.
So I've always tried things that I knew it was complicated. I mean, I'm pretty sure you're a character artist. Like, I can't even do that. I don't know how you do it. But you do such a beautiful job at it. So props to that. But at the end of the day, I chose to do more portrait work because I started off doing commercial artwork. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I get burned out at times, you know, but I love creating things and, you know, making people feel good about it, whatever, for the most part. I started off with the t-shirts and stuff, you know.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things what stopped me from trying to do portraits, because I always cartoon. I make it look like cartoon. I got to put the black outline, and it, so that's why I turn them down a lot. But I need to start learning how to do it, even though I'm ready to be done with. I think I'm about to retire in about 3 years. I'm ready to call it.
You too.
Yeah.
You know, how old are you? How old are you? I mean, you may be retiring too young.
I'm 50.
You're too young. Wait till you get 62. I just turned 60. I said that when I was 55. It's like you can't retire. It's like art is something that's just in you.
Yeah.
I mean, you can slow down and change your direction, but as far as just stop drawing, you'll die.
Yeah.
Because this is our calling.
Yeah. That's the thing. So, I'll probably keep a look. I haven't painted at home in years since COVID, you know.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's really hard to get me to paint at home. So, but it's time for me. I think I'm ready to do a different direction. I pretty much feel like I've done everything in that brush.
Yes. So, yeah, I feel that way.
It's time for something else.
Yeah, and you're right. You're right, because I feel the same way, too. I was just talking to my wife a few days ago. It's like, I'm just tired of doing this type of work, moving around, burning myself out. I'm not young anymore. I got bad knees, bad back, and I can't move as fast as I used to. So yeah. I told her what I would like to start doing is more gallery style art, being more creative on my own time, which I never have that opportunity to be creative on my own. I think that takes away from my creativity, because I feel as an artist, I should have something that I enjoy doing instead of always doing things for other people, which I appreciate. But at the end of the day, I want to have some type of legacy that I will leave behind.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? I want to be able to say something, show something.
Have you ever talked to Herbert Edwards and Sandra Grogan? They do they do those galleries.
She's out in was she in Chicago?
Sandra? Yeah, she's in Atlanta.
Atlanta, yeah. I follow her all the time. She follows me all the time. She does a lot of urban art. I like her style. So we interact and entwine and kind of feed off each other. But that's kind of the direction I would like to go in as far as creating stuff like that, too. And I have some original artwork I don't display, but it's not enough to say I got enough to do a gallery scene. Even though I do galleries out here in Vegas, it's pretty much duplicated things that people can relate to. I want something that just draws their attention. Like, wow, that's different. Never seen anything like that before.
Yeah.
That's here. I have it right here, but I don't have time to put it down.
That's,
you know,
that's where it comes in at. You just got to find that time for yourself to do it. But I mean,
exactly.
I think I was talking to Herbert. He wants to do prints, not prints, but prints of his work, and you know how they sell the prints. Like I have a mixes that I bought back here, and it's they're painted, but they're prints of somebody else done it, and they just selling multiples of them.
So, yeah, you know, that's good. I see. I mean, I have a few pieces too. I'm not really a collector of a lot of other people's art, but everything that's pretty much hanging around me is something I've done, you know. I would love to have other people's work, but for the most part, no one's ever given me anything.
Yeah.
No, I'll take that back. I got it. Yeah, especially now that I can't give it to you. I can probably give you a copy, but nothing original.
Yeah.
I got a lot of those for sure. Yeah.
We got Ed. So I don't know if you can see the questions on there. No,
I don't see them. No.
Okay, well,
maybe hit this button right here. Maybe that's if I cut off, I'm sorry. Let me just hit this thing. Maybe I need to scroll up. No, I don't see any questions, man. Like I said, I'm not really that smart on this stuff.
Oh, you're fine.
I see. It says how long? Wait, man, it's a little tiny, small because my monitor.
How long does it take to do a portrait?
Oh, okay. You read them all because I can't even see it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, thank you. Well, it all depends on the color. Black and white takes less time because I normally use two colors. Time wise, if I start today, I can probably knock it out within a day and a half based on the detail and the size and the material. Color maybe take a little longer because there's layers of colors that require more time.
Yeah. Because I see, I notice you do like a, I know we're jumping ahead a little bit, but I noticed you do like a lot of, like a black jacket. I saw you do it. And it's, I guess the process of doing the black jacket, doing black, is it difficult for you? Or are you like pretty much got a technique already?
Basically a technique, because you know it's kind of hard to just draw directly on black. Even though a lot of people normally just base it white with the airbrush or whatever type of medium they use, I have a technique that I use. I roll my paint on. That builds up a wall. Actually, it turns that canvas, I mean that material, that denim, into canvas just by so rolling the paint on. I'm sorry?
Do you guess so?
I don't use that because it doesn't really, it's not that opaque. So I don't really throw a lot of ideas out there, but I'm just going to throw this one out. I use Behr. Interior paint. So the house paint, because house paint is more durable, so it doesn't crack. So what it does, it builds up a wall, and then it turns that jean material into a canvas. Ooh. But even though you use that, you can't just drown that paint on there. You got to put it in like three or four different layers. But that's my first technique, and then I just pretty much work off a white base.
You know, you probably taught a lot of people a lot of something right now, man. Everybody gonna be like, oh, let me go to the store and buy some Behr.
Oh, yeah. That's a beautiful thing. I mean, I've given a lot of advice for people over the years. I mean, my technique is what I created, in a sense. I didn't learn it from anybody else. So if I see somebody struggling, I always kind of help them along the way, because that, instead of going the long way around something, I'll just help you go straight through the middle.
Yeah. And those days.
That way, gatekeeping,
those days of gatekeeping, airbrushing, and all those techniques are over with. Nobody, like when we were coming through, it was like nobody wanted to tell you anything because it was gatekeeping it. You know, scared you're going to take their job or use their designs or whatever. But it's really not that much like that no more.
Well, you'll be surprised. There's still some guys out there to this day that don't want to share their recipes. You know, because they feel that it'd take something away from them. But I always tell people, there's too much money out here.
Yeah.
And it's not what you learn, it's how you use it.
Yeah.
All I'm doing is giving you a little advice. And it's up to you to create that from that point. Yeah. So that what I just said a minute ago is basically taking you the short way around creating your base and what type of paints I use personally. You might want to use gypsum or whatever you feel comfortable with, but at the end of the day, this is what I use and it works perfectly fine. I always test everything before I start. It sounds good, it looks good, but would it hold?
Yeah.
So I do runs on everything I create to make sure that I'll put in a washing machine, I'll step on it, I'll throw it out of an airplane. Just to make sure that it's durable. And then from that point, because when I deal with clients, you know, foreign and domestic, state to state on the regular. So it's important for me to make sure their quality is up to par, because that's pretty much my reputation as far as who did your jacket, who did it, Cliff. So I got to cover my end by just doing things that I know for sure that's quality on that part.
So you said you had, after you started, you opened up your own shop in a year. So it was a year after you started, you opened up a shop. Was it an actual shop, flea market, or what?
No, I had my first location was inside the indoor swap meet in Compton. So I came across an opportunity to get a 10x10 booth. Didn't know anything about business, didn't know anything about sales, or still learning the process. But someone gave me the opportunity, so I just moved in with what I had, my easel, my airbrush, and little designs, and just created from that point and just learned as I go. I mean, I'll have my ups and downs, my trials and errors, but that was the experience that I love, because it took all that to make me understand what I had to go through to get to this point. So my first opportunity was just threw at me and at a great time, you know. So I just stepped out on faith. You know, faith is one of those things we got to step out on, because if you're scared, you're nervous, you're shy, and all the other stuff that comes along with being an artist, you're never going to get the exposure because you don't want to show your work because automatically you're judging yourself. Let the public judge you because 9 out of 10, as artists, we're sensitive anyway about our work. The hardest thing for us to do is present our work. You know?
Yeah.
And once we present it,
we're more we critique our work more than anybody else. We might say, oh, that's ugly. I don't really like it. But, you know, to them, it looks good to them. So, yeah, I think we're our own worst critics of our work.
Because that's what makes us an artist, you know?
Yeah.
That's what makes us an artist. If we just throw things out there and don't care what other people think, then we're defeating the purpose of being an artist.
Yeah.
So I just tell clients or friends or whatever, just be honest with me. You don't have to critique my work and say it's great when it's garbage. I'd rather you be honest with me to help me develop my skills even more instead of me feeling like I'm okay, but you're only being honest with me because you're my friend. Don't be my friend. If you're my friend, be honest with me.
Yeah, I think we see a lot of that too because there's a lot of people who that probably need a little work, but somebody giving them the praise that they're doing good, so they stop practicing, they stop trying to make themselves better because they feel they already got it, they already there.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, but as artists, we could see it. We could see, I don't know, maybe you need to work on your writing a little bit more, you know, or, you know, work on this a little bit more. But they not really got all the praise from somebody else, and well, that's it, they just give up, they stop right there.
Yeah, it's self confidence because we have to satisfy ourselves before we can satisfy anybody else. I mean, if you know something is wrong, you know it when something is not right. We all know that as an artist, we know we could have done better. Because at the end of the day, we're never satisfied. So that's just a given. I mean, we're never completely satisfied anything we do. Yeah, it's always something we could have done different. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep.
So are you still running? You say you didn't move until you dropped all your overhead. Now you're just working out of your garage now?
Yeah, I've been working from home for almost 7 years. So I've been working from here. When I moved to California, I just started working here. I tried a couple shops, but I mean, work from home is kind of like the place where I need to be because it gives me that comfort to create and plus try to make a living off it at the same time. I never thought in a million years I'd be working from home because I always worked in storefronts, I always had businesses. And I guess I'm doing something right because, you know, it's consistency. And when it started getting to, thank God for social media, Instagram for me, it really had me on a global level. Because now I start reaching people that I never thought I would ever reach. I mean, people in Africa, Australia, UK, everywhere. I have clients around the world, you know. And this is the reason why I do it. I haven't retired because I like making people happy, you know.
Yeah.
I always tell people as an artist, what you have to do, you have to humble yourself. You can't feel because you have all this, you're doing all that, that you're all that. You're not. There's always somebody that's going to push you to the side. It's going to make you feel real small because I admire every artist. I don't downgrade or talk about any artist. If anything, I'm going to uplift you, you know, to make sure that you get to the point where you're trying to get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm ready to get rid of my overhead because I've been in the mall for maybe going on 17, 18 years.
Wow.
And, you know, the rent has fluctuated, but, you know, you still have all lights, insurance, you know, rent.
Oh yeah.
So it's, you still have this big overhead. So
I see
you working on your van, and I don't know if you ever saw my truck. I had the red truck.
Oh yeah, I see it. I follow you on the regular. I like that. Yeah. That's old school. I like that. You did the wrap on that? Yeah. Or is that airbrush?
No, I bring it out here and paint it. I paint it up
and
when I first painted it, I painted it with rattle can paint cans, and then mm-hmm. they put all my signs on. I sold it recently because I wanted one of those vans like you got. I wanted a high top van.
Okay.
But yeah. I can't find one. I can't find one reasonable anyway. Everyone I've
Everybody's
5,000, 30,000. I'm like, man, I'm not going to pay
30,000. Yeah. Yeah. The one we have is, well, we pay 42, but it's a 19, you know. But because what happened, we're looking for, actually what I did is I built an RV. It's not a work RV, it's a traveling and camping.
Mm-hmm.
So we were looking at one that was fully built, and they wanted almost $100,000. So I said, what we can do is buy a shell, cargo shell, and just drill it out myself. My wife didn't believe I can do it. I said, there's too much YouTube out there not to figure this out.
Oh, man, YouTube is your friend. They tell you everything.
It's like a trade school, bro. I mean, YouTube has been been a savior for me. You know what I mean? Anything I can't figure out, I just punch in. How do you do this? But I built it out. I'm still working on it.
That's how I learned how to do Photoshop. It's like, how do I do that? Yeah. Okay, YouTube it. There's somebody on there going to show
you. Everybody's going to show you. You might have to go through like 4 or 5 different videos to get the complete, set how it works from top to bottom. But you'll figure it out. They only give you so much to learn from, but you'll figure the rest out.
So you get ready. So you're going to do it. You're going to use that to travel back and forth. Are you going to I see you said.
Well, we could. Say again?
You said you get ready to put a bed in there or something?
No, me and my wife, I have everything already built. So we're leaving Saturday morning to Minnesota. So we're going to pretty much stay in there overnight, and then we have an Airbnb. But for the most part, everything is already built. Only thing I have to build now is just the furniture, the sink, and a counter. But the bed and everything is already in there. So I built this because a lot of times in California, I would have to get hotels, motels, whatever. And it gets costly. So I built this because it's convenient for me to stay in my van at that location than to spend more money than I don't need to. So that's the pros and cons of it. Plus, it's mainly for family. Me and my wife traveling, when we start traveling, it'll save us money on hotels and stuff. But but mainly when I go to California, I ain't got to worry about spending extra money.
That's a good thing right there.
It's a beautiful thing, bro.
Them rooms get expensive.
Oh my God! Yeah, they went up so much, man. I'm talking about the Roach Coast motels. You know what I mean? I was like, where can I stay anywhere for the $500?
Hey, and you can't check in at 4 o'clock, but you got to get out of by 11 o'clock.
Hey, that's something. That's the part right there. So that way, I don't have to worry about that too much anymore.
Man, that's all good.
Yes.
Oh, hold on. I was going to the next question. It jumped off of me. Okay.
Am I late? Is that what somebody said?
So I see you paint a lot of. Oh, somebody said they were late coming to the podcast.
Okay.
I see you paint a lot of prints, and you said you were in this fan club?
Yeah, I've been part of the Prince fan base for the last 5 years. So I do a lot of stuff for a lot of people, state to state. So a lot of that is based on right now the celebration is next week, the genealogy of Prince celebration, his death and his birthday. So right now I'm headed out there and to back it up. Yeah, I do a lot of Prince stuff, a lot of jackets and stuff like that for a lot of clients. So a lot of people see me posting all these jackets and stuff. They think all these jackets are for me. I said, nah, clients.
That's a for yourself, bro.
Yeah, that's a serious wardrobe right there, isn't it? I'm a Prince fan, but not that serious.
I mean, I really took it, man. I really did take it kind of bad that he, you never expect the Prince to pass away like that. Or I figured him and Mike would get old.
Yeah, they're not invincible though. Life is the way it is. It was a struggle for them, especially for Mike. He went through so much, man. I mean, when Prince died, I didn't see that one coming at all. That hit me hard. I was boo-booing a little bit. I was like, Prince just died?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I seen Michael Jackson deterioration, but I didn't see Prince.
No.
Because Prince was more private.
Yeah, he was more private about his stuff.
Yeah.
Did you ever attend any? Somebody said, did you ever attend any of his concerts?
No, I wish I would have, man. When I was in California, he used to have a 21-day concert at the Forum in Inglewood. I had multiple opportunities to go to that concert. I didn't. It was always an excuse. I had to work. And back then, it was 21 days, and the tickets were like dirt cheap.
Yeah.
But I mean, work was one of those things where I had an excuse for. I wish I would have met him. But I have an opportunity to meet his family next week. So that's even his sister and buddy. So I'm pretty good about that. Yeah. The spirit lives in me.
Yeah. So when you said your trip is to Minneapolis?
We're leaving Saturday morning. We're driving from Vegas.
Oh yeah, I was just saying you're driving.
Yeah, we're driving the new Mercedes RV. Oh, okay. No, that's not a Mercedes. That's a ProMaster Ram.
Oh, I would rather the ProMaster Ram or the Ford other than the Mercedes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the Transit, yeah, because the Mercedes, I heard they're okay, but they just have a lot of problems with them. You know, I heard the ride is comfortable. A lot of people complain about the ProMaster because the seats sit high, so you can really see that roll real good. But
yeah,
outside of that, man, I don't have any problems with it. Works for me. I'm sure anyway.
About the Mercedes because just maintenance alone was going to be sky high on
them. A Mercedes. Speak of that, yeah. I don't think I would do that neither. I stick to the Rams.
So how long of a ride is it going to be?
I think we're looking at about 22 hours. I got my wife and I have my my friend from Palm Springs coming down Friday. Mm-hmm. And we're all going to drive off there, kind of do like an express all the way through. We're probably going to get there in about 20 hours, give or take.
Man.
If we drive through.
I think I done got to the point I'm old enough to where I just want to fly. I'm fly. If it's a 3-hour drive, I want to fly there. If they got an airport, I want to fly there. Wherever I gotta go.
Yeah, we just flew out to New Orleans for my daughter's graduation a couple weeks ago. She graduated from Dillard University, so that was in New Orleans. But I don't, you know. Then I got to go to Hawaii and then the Bahamas in a few months. But I don't like flying, man. My wife, she's all don't care. She'll sleep right through the turbulence. I'm like, I'm trying to say a prayer. I don't like flying, but I know it's convenient. But I feel like I'm out of control on my element. I don't feel like I'm safe. I got somebody in a cockpit that's guiding my life.
Yeah.
And what if this guy have a bad day? You know? This guy might have a yes, absolutely. I like driving. I kind of like landscaping. I like landscaping.
You like? Did you like New Orleans?
Oh yeah, I've been in New Orleans like 4 times, and I love New Orleans. I love the culture. I love the food. I just love the energy, man. I know it's a little grimy and dirty in certain areas, but I just love that culture, man.
Man, yeah. It's fun. You have fun. I think we're going to take a trip up there soon. I was looking for some tickets the other day to go fly up there.
Yeah. You've been there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, plenty of times.
Man, Street. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah. Bourbon Street, we took the tours. We go to... What's the other street? It's Bourbon and I can't think of the
French Quarters. Yeah.
We go hang out there and eat. Oh, the Eden?
Yeah.
Their food is good.
Yeah, sure. You can go to a gas station and get some good food out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing you have to worry about, some good food. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I like traveling when I can.
What are you going to do when you get to the Minneapolis? What is your, your featured artist? So what are you going to do?
So my first stop is at an event in the city of Chanson. I'm doing a light painting there. And that starts at 6 o'clock for Saturday night. It's just a 5-hour session. So I'll be doing live painting as an auction giveaway with orders to sell and purchase. I'm hired to go out there and do a live painting of prints on stage. Yeah.
That's nice.
And then the second night I'm at Paisley. I'm going to have a canopy with all, you know, the artwork and stuff, and memorabilia that I created for sale. And just have a fun time, you know, 2 main events and then do some touring around the city.
So do you have a lot of stock already, like a painting?
No,
already?
I don't. No.
So you
got to I'm working on it. I've been pushing the clock. I got a few things I've had already done, but one thing I know for sure what I got to get done, which is probably going to be a problem, is my prints. I got to get the copies made. And I know I'm not procrastinating. It's just I've been working nonstop, and I'm just kind of a little nervous about not having enough product. But that's why I've been creating original pieces.
Yeah.
And small canvases and just logos and stuff on them.
Are you printing them on canvas? You know, you can, like, I know Office Depot, you can send them out and they print them on canvases for you.
Yeah, I don't have time for that. I'm creating them on just press boards, papers, and, you know, regular copies and sheets like that. But as far as the prints, I mean, drawings are on canvas and hardboards. Okay. But as far as the copies, just regular paper copies.
Hopefully
I can get that done.
Do you have a big printer?
No, I don't have any of that equipment, man. I normally take it down to, well, I don't have no choice right now, but to take them down to either FedEx or Office Max and just babysit them because, you know, you got to watch those guys, man. They just run through right through the printer. And I'm going to spend all day tomorrow just babysitting, you know, from store to store, dropping some off. And I'm just going to pray on it, man, and do the best I can with the time that I have to work with.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you'll be good. You'll be good and ready. Because, but I mean, right now, those 13 by 19 Epson printers right now, they're like maybe, I think I bought one the other day. It was like $279, man. It prints.
Oh, yeah. It's 13 by 19. Yeah.
And,
yeah. Give me. Well, I do have an Epson printer here. We actually have three printers, but it's not the quality that I would want, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to just take anything down there. I mean, it's like last minute if I did, but I'm in good hands. I mean, if I don't have enough prints, I have enough artwork, you know, and that's the most important thing. People, you know, one thing about the Prince fans, they're collectors, man. They don't care what it is. They just want it, you know?
Yeah, they just want it.
I mean, and 95% of my clients are women. And, you know, women shop. Women buy.
Yeah.
So no matter what it is, they're going to buy it.
I see a lot of those women with the jackets on, looking back with all your Prince stuff on them.
Yeah, they're highly competitive. You know what I mean? They always want to look better than the next woman. You know, I'm like, okay, yeah. Well, cool. Keep me busy.
So a lot of your portrait work is spot on. Like I was showing my wife last night.
Mm-hmm, like, thank you.
Wow, that's really good. And is it any kind of certain technique that you have, or is it it just comes out that way?
Well, I use a projector a majority of my work due to the fact that I'm a speed painter, so I have to have a lot of stuff already laid out. Years ago, I used to do a lot of freehands, but I don't have time because everything I do has to be consistent. So I use a projector, which is a professional tool I've been using for years, and I used to work for companies that use projectors just for contouring. But it just helps me lay out everything. I don't do all the grid and all the other stuff. I don't have that kind of, you know, lifestyle as far as like being able to just move that slow. So yeah, my projector helps me speed up my process, and it helps me with my assembly, you know, and puts everything in perspective.
The layout and all that. Because I try to do it where it's a technique where you just print the face out, cut the eyes out, line the nose up, cut the mouth out, and you know, do it that way. Now I try that, but I still got to put that black outline and the black nose. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, a lot of that happens when you do stencil cutouts like that and you get a lot of sharp edges. Then you try to smooth them out and you still have that ring around that area. So I know a lot of people that do the cut and paint too, but you got to really fade that light to a point when you take the pattern off, whatever, you can still see the soft lines where you can create the shadows and stuff.
Yeah.
But there's all different techniques, and I always tell people, whatever works for you, use it. It doesn't matter. It shouldn't affect you any kind of way. If anything, you should benefit from that, and don't worry about what the next person thinks as far as your technique. It's not about your technique. It's about the results of your artwork, and that's the key, is what you put out for the public to see instead of working in your lab, you know, doing your technique, whatever works for you. That's the beauty of it, of creating art. But I mean, I don't really throw a lot of my personal things out there, how I create art, but I always just do what works for me, you know?
Yeah.
And I respect other people's techniques as well.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So I ain't gonna hold you too much longer, but you got any hobbies beside that wrestling?
That's going to take a minute to think about. I got the answer to that. No. I used to ride bikes a lot for the last 5 years. I'd do walking and jogging back in the days. Like, when the world shut down, I kind of, like, went with it. You know what I mean? It's like my whole way of doing things kind of changed. But as far as hobbies and stuff, my dog, play with my dog. I mean, I don't really do anything outside of that. I mean, I go into the parks and hang out, fishing with my brother periodically. But
yeah.
But mainly just work, man. That's I'm just an engine. You know what I mean? I'm just a machine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, what's your morning routine like?
When I first wake up in the morning, I grab me some coffee, get up, take care of my dog, make sure my dog is fed. I get into the garage because normally before I even go to bed at night, I make sure everything is prepped for that next day. So I'll just pick up where I left off early that morning, you know, and start my day with my first product and make sure I have my coffee to get going. But, you know, basic regular routine type stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I do my 9 to 5, 9 to 12, whatever.
Oh, yeah. So you set your hours for yourself?
I don't really have any set hours because, you know, in this business, we don't know when we're going to end and where we're going to start.
Yeah.
So it's, I try to be decent, but a lot of times lately I've been working till like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, man.
Usually I was shut down about 8, but now, right now, everything is crunch time. So I'm a one man's band. I play all the instruments.
Yeah.
You know, my wife helps me periodically, but I play all the instruments. And so I got to be here. I got to be there. I got to do this, do that, because now I'm on a deadline.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't pay attention to time.
Yeah.
When my eyes start sagging, whatever, then it's time to shut down.
It'll get away from you. If you really don't pay attention to it, it's like, it was just 4 o'clock. Next thing you know, it's 10:30. I'm like, where did time go? Because you just so involved and clicked into your work.
Yeah, we don't pay attention to time, and that's when we know we got something that we're connected with, because time just flies by. Yeah. And we don't really, like, I'm tired. If you get tired, you know, I used to get tired when I used to work for somebody.
Yeah.
That's when I was waiting for the time to go by.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So my job, it doesn't seem like work to me. It's more of a passion.
Yeah.
So when it's, you know, when I can do this all day and all that, and other people look at it, you still working? Yeah, but it's not work to me. I'm in creative mode right now. So once I get into my creative space, I can go on and on and on and on and on, because it's not like I have that creative space every day. You know, as an artist, we wake up sometimes and we're just like, we're blocked. I have no creative edge. I can't think. I can't do anything today, but the following day, I'm flowing.
Yeah.
But it's not like that every day. So when I do have those good days, I just run with it. I just run through it. Because I can accomplish a lot more, you know?
Yeah. I think when I first started, you know what my best time of the day was? 3 o'clock in the morning. I would be back here in my office and I'll just be sitting there and I'll be doodling. Can't come up with nothing. I'll fall asleep in my chair. And right when I say I got to get up and go to bed, I'm like, hey, and bam, I'm up for another 3 hours working on something. Because it
just clicks me. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
I think my creative edge kicks in when I'm sleeping.
Yeah,
you ever been in a position where you've been like struggling trying to figure something out for hours and hours, and you just couldn't figure it out? But once I rest my mind, I go to sleep, everything is slow. So now I can really pay attention to what I need to do, step by step. So when I wake up, I got it.
Yeah. So you're a constant thinker.
Oh my God.
The thinker, man.
We're different. We're just creative. And my wife tells me all the time, she'll be talking to me, and you know how it is. I don't know if you're married or not, but if you are, you can relate. She'll be talking to me a lot of times. I'll be thinking about things I gotta do, but I'm listening, but it's like going through this area coming out like this. She would say, what did I say? You know what you said. I don't need to repeat what you just said. So we're thinkers, man. We're just creative thinkers, you know. That's part of who we are.
Like, I'll blurt something out because I'm thinking about it, and I'll blurt it out. She said, "We talked about that 3 days ago." It just clicked in. It just kicked it to me. So I don't know.
Yeah. So, that's just who we are.
Read any, You have you read any good books lately? Do you get a chance to read?
No, I don't really. I mean, I'm more of a news. I watch the news, but I don't really sit down and read. I'm not really a book reader. My wife is, but I don't know. I've never really been a book reader, man. I mean, I'll go through like art magazines and different things like that. But I, as far as just taking time to read a good book, whatever, I don't have time. You know, I wish I did. Maybe as I get older, God's will, I'll try that. But yeah, I'm just too active.
Yeah. I think something I want to incorporate in my life at some point. Just give me a couple of good books and read them. Yeah.
It's relaxing and soothing, whatever. You need that energy. You need that brain food.
Yeah.
And your memory, you know, it keeps your memory going. But I don't know. I'm in a different place mentally right now, so you never know what the future may hold for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's the story.
I'm not young anymore. Yeah.
Anything we haven't covered that you want to say before we close?
Basically, I just want to compliment you on your work, and I want to thank you for this opportunity to give me this airtime. And your work is outstanding. I mean, I'll follow you on the regular, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people follow you on the regular. And I think this is a good thing for the community of artists to connect, you know, because we see people, we see each other on social media. I see a lot of people I don't know, and a lot of people know me and never heard my voice, whatever. But this network is beautiful. So I would just say, keep this going. I would love to be a guest again one day or whatever you ever decide to do it again. And I know you say you just got this going, whatever. You're pretty much just starting it off. But I think you're definitely in the right place because you're giving everybody a platform.
Yeah.
And everybody, the energy from artists is all connected in one piece here.
Yeah. We started in for COVID to find out, you know, try to help everybody who was who didn't, you know, to learn something that everybody else was doing that was working for them during COVID and to find out what they were doing. And then it was like trying to give people voices who didn't get a chance to get into the magazines and all of that. Because, man, like I said, I know some artists that not in the magazine and never been in a magazine that's way better than a lot of people.
Oh, yes.
It is some artists out there. And I'm trying to give every... I want to make sure I give everybody a chance to get their voice out and be seen.
Exactly. So now that you mention that, this is so good because I remember the story you just mentioned that I knew a lot of artists when I grew up in LA, and we used to shop at Coast Airbrush in Anaheim. That was my first, that's my airbrush supplier. So they always had airbrush magazines, and you know, Don Johnson has airbrush magazines, and so many people are starting to come together, more of urban connections of artists are starting to be more, you know, advertised in these books. Back in my days, back in the early 90s, we didn't have the opportunity.
No.
Every time you open up the book, you had Craig Frazier, Terry Hill, and others every quarter. So I'm like, well, why? I had tried so hard to get in these magazines. It's like, what am I doing wrong? But then after a while, you start comparing yourself to some of the artists. It's like, my work can't be that bad or no different than what they're doing. Why I'm not being accepted as far as being exposed? So from that point to now, we're definitely in a better place. There's no way or how that as an artist, you can get exposure.
Yeah.
You can get exposure on a global level. Like never before.
Yeah.
Thanks to people like you, you know?
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people don't get the chance. And they don't.
They don't.
Never get even looked at, but they're out there and they're way better. Way better.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I've known a lot of amazing artists, man. It's like, and you what? Nobody know about you?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't even have a page. I mean, you can set up a social media page for free.
There's a lot of people who don't even deal with social media, too, though. So I know a lot of people, they're not even online. It's like, why are you not online?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. But
it is crazy.
And they're known about.
Well, I mean, you only use what you need. So if you feel that you don't need it, because before social media, what did we do? We had to go out and pass out flyers. And majority of my business back in the days was word of mouth. That's what kept me afloat. Word of mouth.
It's still to this
Your
day,
reputation was all you had. Yeah. Reputation is all we had. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so this is a better world, being a more comfortable world. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to hold you up too much more. I appreciate the time, man. I'm glad I finally got you on here.
I'm glad too, my brother. Now, we got to do this again.
Yeah. Well, we're going to start bringing a lot of people back and what you're doing now and stuff like that. So, but if you want to highlight me while you're over there and you want to like get on live and we can talk
about what's
going on.
Absolutely.
So we can do.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be running a video too. So just stay tuned. I'm going to have some videos going. You know, my wife will have a camera or whatever. And we'll definitely stay in contact for sure.
All right. Hey, and that's good support right there. When your wife is behind.
Absolutely. Number one.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
My wife like that, but she'll be around every now and then, but she still support me a lot. So that's good. If not, I wouldn't still be doing this.
There you go. My wife is a little bossy, though. You know, she calls herself my boss, and I accept that.
Yeah, you
got to be better to me.
Yeah.
Can't argue with the truth. No, can't argue with the truth.
Yeah. All right, bro. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, thank you, brother. I appreciate your time, man. Appreciate it.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Air Graphic Podcast is a production of Air Graphics Airbrushing. It's written and hosted by me, fellow airbrusher Ralph Kelly. If you want to see any of my work, check out my website, www.airgraphics1.com, or my Facebook, Ralph Kelly. Thanks for listening.